Tonight we move into Exodus chapter 26, and this is a magnificent chapter for us to move into. I believe God is going to speak through his goodness if I stay on his word. If I deviate from his word, then I think I'm going to mess up everything that he has for us to see in this passage. And I don't want to do that to him, neither do I want to do that to you all. I believe that this message tonight is very important because it shows one thing. And what I believe that I want to pull from this message, I kept seeing it. And it kept making me, because what I do sometimes, I might go through with my computer and I'll just highlight just different words and different things that stick out. And when I see that, the message almost gives itself to me when it happens. So tonight I want to talk about the many that God uses to make one, so that he can dwell amongst us. The many that God uses to make one so that he can dwell among us. Now, I understand that in looking at this passage, there's many ways that this could be taught, but this is the way that I'm planning on teaching this tonight. And what I need to do in order for us to do that is have Ann to read. Normally, we read a regular translation. I'm going to have Ann to read down to verse 6, and then I'm going to come back and read it in the Living Translation. I don't normally use the Living Translation, but because there are some cubits and things that are in there, I don't want to, every time we get to a cubit, say, well, this could be 18 inches or this could be 20 inches. So I want her to read it in this translation because this is one that's more going to be more familiar with people that are listening, and then I'll come back. We're going to try to do that in an expeditious manner, and then I have Andy have a surprise for you all. Go ahead.
Moreover, you shall make the tabernacle with 10 curtains of fine twine linen, and blue, and purple, and scarlet yarns. You shall make them with cherubim, skillfully worked into them. The length of each curtain shall be 28 cubits, and the breadth of each curtain 4 cubits. All the curtains shall be the same size. 5 curtains shall be coupled to one another, and the other 5 curtains shall be coupled to one another. And you shall make loops of blue on the edge of the outermost curtain in the first set. Likewise, you shall make loops on the edge of the outermost curtain in the second set. 50 loops you shall make on the one curtain, and 50 loops you shall make on the edge of the curtain that is in the second set. The loops shall be opposite one another. And you shall make 50 clasps of gold, and couple the curtains one to the other with the clasp, so that the tabernacle may be a single whole.
Thank you, Anne. I want to go right into the Living Translation so that we can get this. I think we got some from what Ann said, but I want to work it this way and listen to what the Word of God says. I'm reading from the Living Translation. Make the tabernacle from 10. Notice I'm going to keep saying on different numbers. I'm going to pull it out. Make the tabernacle from 10 curtains of finely woven linen. Now, understand this finely woven. This means this is intricately designed. This means this is more than one strand of linen. It is woven together to make one whole cloth. Yes, it is. Decorate the curtains with blue, purple, and scarlet. Blue, the color of the sky. Purple, the color of royalty. And scarlet, the color of blood. The color of blood that they used to be able to put on the people, on the Ark of the Covenant, and other things that Moses sprinkled with blood. Now, somebody might say, Tim, why didn't you spend more time on this? Promise you, if you know the book of Exodus, we're coming back to this. So we don't have to do it all the first time. When they get ready to make it, we're going to go over this again. But notice it says, with the purple, the scarlet thread, and skillfully embroidered cherubim. Now, understand when we deal with what we call the angelic beings. In other words, when we see what we call celestial, we see some in the book of Isaiah, they have 6 wings. They cover their feet, they cover their hands, and they don't look toward God. We notice that there are some that have no wings. They appear as men to us, well, at least they have to people, And they have spoken to men. They have walked with men, tried to preserve men. Those are what we call angels or messengers. And then there are the cherubim. Sometimes we see them with many faces. Well, we find that cherubim guard the way to God in the Garden of Eden. And so we have three different types of beings. But God has here, you're going to put the cherubim on this curtain as if I'm back in here. And I need you to understand, this is not just being for play. This is the real deal, that God is saying my presence is going to be there and my cherubim is going to be there. This is a warning to you. It's a privilege to have me there, but it's also a warning. Now, let's go back to what we're dealing with. We're dealing with the many that makes one. This is how God wants his presence to come in amongst us. There are 10 curtains. They're woven together. They didn't give how many strands of thread would make the cherubim or the curtain. Just know that it's many. Now, this is why I'm reading the NIV for this, Living Translation for this reason only. These 10 again, must be exactly the same, 42 feet long, 6 feet wide. Can you get a grasp of that a little bit in your mind? 42 feet long, that's, for those that don't know, when you see a piece of plywood or a piece of sheetrock, usually it's 8 feet long, unless it's the 12-foot piece. Now, 42 feet long would mean that 8-foot, that plywood's this long ways, that would be 5 of those stacked on top of each other, plus some more. That is high. The average door is not even 8 feet tall. It's usually 6 feet 9 inches. Imagine 5 of those stacked up, so it's 42 feet long, 6 feet wide. What is 6 times 7? 42. Now, we may deal with some of these numbers when we go back through it. I just want us to look at another thing. Verse 3, join 5 of these curtains together to make one. Join 5 together to make one. I think that is significant because of the fact we have many curtains. We have 5, but now they are one. But that's not the end. Put loops of blue yarn along the edge of the last curtain. Notice there are loops that has to be attached to the edge of the curtain in each set. Notice, verse 5, the 50, there we have another number. We have 5. Now we have the 10. Now they make 50 loops along the edge of the curtain to match the 50 loops along the edge of the other curtain. Then, make 50 gold clasps. Do you see there's 50 loops? There's 50 gold clasps. Suppose there were somebody decided, I'm just going to make 49. Now we'll have one gold clasp that's right, but it will be out of order because there's not a place for it to be perfectly fit to go what God is trying to do. Notice what happens here. Make the 50 gold clasp and fasten, we're going to join it together, the long curtains together with the clasp in this way that the tabernacle may be made one continuous piece, the many. The curtains, the weave that they make with the linen, the colors, the blue, the purple, the scarlet, the 5 and the 5 and the other one joined together, the 50 clasps, the 50 loops are going to make one tabernacle. And this is what the Lord is doing with us. Somebody say, Tim, how do you know? You haven't proven it yet, and I'm not going to because of the fact I'm going to do it later. Number 7, Ann, help me with 7.
You shall also make curtains of goat's hair for a tent over the tabernacle.
It says make 11 curtains. Did you all say 11?
No.
Let's see. And this is, we're able to pull this together. Make 11 curtains of goat hair to serve as a tent covering for the tabernacle. Notice there are many that's going to make the covering. The covering is very important. Why is it important? Because the covering is a form of protection. But it's not just one piece. Read some more, verse 8.
The length of each curtain shall be 30 cubits, and the breadth of each curtain 4 cubits. The 11 curtains shall be the same size.
I'll read that. Well, we have the dimensions, at least in English measurements. I don't have metric. It says, verse 8, the 11 curtains all must be exactly the same size. I want us to kind of think of an overlay or an overarching thing that God is doing here. This is a form of predestination. When you want to talk about the real predestination that God has, I know what I want. I know what it takes for me to dwell among you the way that I want to. I know the representation that I want you to have. I know exactly how I want my covering to be. I know exactly what colors I want to be here. I know exactly what I want to do. How dare we to think that God could be that way then, and that now he has become arbitrary or whimsical. Whimsical means he just capricious, just willy-nilly. It's like one day you feel good and one day you feel badly, so somebody don't know how you're going to treat them. God is not like that. He is consistent. So these 11 curtains must all be the same size, 45 feet long. 45 feet long. We're almost at the place where there would be 8 times 6. 8 times 6 is 48, but this is 3 feet less than 48. 45 feet long, 6 feet wide. Ninth verse.
You shall couple 5 curtains by themselves.
Notice she uses the word couple. The living said join. Notice these curtains are joined together. The many is to make one. The many are joined together, because if they were separate, it would not be what God wanted. And I submit to you, the pattern that God showed Moses is the very pattern of what God wanted them to have. And I also want to give to you as an offering before you verbally is that God showed Moses a pattern in the mountain, and this place is going to have cherubim on the inside. Yes, it is. It's going to have cherubim before the door, and it's going to be like a type and a figure of those priests in there, as if they were in the heavenlies. Yes, it is. Read some more of the sweetest word of God.
The 11 curtains shall be the same size. You shall couple 5 curtains by themselves and 6 curtains by themselves. And the 6th curtain you shall double over at the front of the tent.
And listen to what the word of God says. The 11 curtains be the same size, 45 feet long, 6 feet wide. Join the curtains together to make one long curtain. One, not many. When they're joined together, they're not considered to be one anymore. Understand what God is doing. I am making a tabernacle, not a lot of pieces. When I was taking construction in school, one of the things that they taught us, when you read, it was called Modern Carpentry back in 1998, it said that it takes many members to build a structure or a house. And part of the building process is to know how to fasten. You have to determine what it's going to take to fasten. Sometimes you use bolts. Sometimes you use nail. Sometimes you use glue and nails. Sometimes you use screws. But a house should be a continual member if it's going to stand. Do you think that if God is building a house or a tabernacle just because it's going to be portable, he doesn't know how to join this thing together? Oh, but if we're going to be the temple of the Most High, if we're going to be the dwelling place of God in the earth, you don't think that he knows how to join us together? Do you think he liked the fact that there's a curtain over here, there's a curtain over here, here's a loop over here, there's 3 clasps over here that's not joined together? How dare all of us say that we're representing the Lord God of heaven, and as divided as we are, Lord have mercy on our soul, and let alone when those of us, even in our own assembly, seeking truth ministry, often we are divided. Because God has a pattern. God has a pattern. God has his sweeted word. And by God having his sweeted word, he lets us know what's necessary for us to be joined together. But we may not think it's necessary for us to be joined together. We may not think that it's important for us to be joined together, but it is important for us to be joined together. And if it's not important for you to be joined together with us in seeking truth, find you somewhere where they're giving God's instruction and be joined so that spiritually we still would be joined together, even if we're not in the same location. Bless God's everlasting name. You don't just see one gold clasp on the ground and I'm serving God. Made them to join together. Will you turn the volume down on that, please? And then it says, and allow 3 feet. Let me get that. Allow 3 feet of material from the second set to hang over the front of the sacred tent. Verse 10, please.
You shall make 50 loops on the edge of the curtain that is outermost in one set, and 50 loops on the edge of the curtain that is outermost in the second set. You shall make 50 clasps of bronze, and put the clasps into the loops, and couple the tent together that it may be a single whole.
There we go again. Do you see how when I have this highlighted, it just jumps out at me? Verse 10 again, the word of God says, can I see the 10 on here? No, in mine, the numbers are on the inside of the paragraph, so I don't see the 10, so I'll just start at 9. Join the 5 of these curtains together to make one long curtain. Join the 6 into the second long curtain. Allow 3 feet to hang over from the front of the material of the tent, of the sacred tent. Here's 10. Make 50 loops for one edge of the curtain. Make 50 bronze clasps. 50 we got here. Notice on the other part there were 50 gold clasps. Now we're dealing with another part that's not the holiest place. We got here 50 gold clasps, okay? This is the part from the top. You thank you for the correction. 50 bronze clasps. And fasten the loops along the curtains with the clasp, okay? In this way, the covering shall be one continuous peace. You have 11 curtains. You have all these clasps and all these loops, but they make one continuous piece. The remaining 3 feet of the tent covering will be left over to hang over the back of the tabernacle. I know how much I want to hang over the back. I know exactly how much I want to hang over the front. 13, please.
And the extra that remains in the length of the curtains, the cubit on the one side and the cubit on the other side, shall hang over the sides of the tabernacle.
Allow 18 inches of remaining material to hang down over each side of the tabernacle, and it's completely covered. So they're saying a cubit here is about 18 inches. 14, please.
And you shall make for the tent a covering of tanned ram skins and a covering of goat skins on top.
Now notice, when you complete the tent covering with the protective layer of tan ram skins and goat skin, this is what you're doing. Your covering is a continuous piece. It's to protect and cover the tabernacle. It's many pieces joined. We got scarlet, we have purple, we have blue, we have ram skin, we have goat skin, we have woolly hair, and we have fine twine linen. All of these pieces are joined together to do the work of God. This is a beautiful picture. Give me verse number 15, please.
You shall make upright frames for the tabernacle of acacia wood. 10 cubits shall be the length of a frame, and a cubit and a half the breadth of each frame.
Notice, you don't determine how this thing is going to stand up. I will tell you how it will stand up. I want the framework of this tabernacle to be made of acacia wood. What is the framework in a human body? Your skeleton. What is the framework in the average building? What we call the studs. God said, in my house, there needs to be a framework. There needs to be a support system for the wall of the tabernacle. And so, therefore, I want them each to be 15 feet high. That's high now. That's almost the same as 2 pieces of plywood or sheetrock stacked end to end, because that would be 16 feet in America. So we got 15 feet high, 27 inches wide. I don't know how thick it is. I've seen pictures where it's made look as if it's 27 feet, inches wide as well as thick. I don't know. They may have cut in trees to make it that thick because a tree is wide enough to do that. But 27 inches is pretty big. 27 inches wide is big. That's a little over 2 feet, okay? So we got big boards for the frame. But notice, the frames in verse 18 of what, Anne?
You shall make the frames for the tabernacle, 20 frames for the south side, and 40 bases of silver you shall make under the 20 frames, 2 bases under one frame for its 2 tenons, and 2 bases under the next frame for its 2 tenons.
Let me take it to the living so that we can get a little what you would call, I guess, clarification. 18, make 20 of these frames. Notice the number, 20, to support the curtains on the south side of the tabernacle. And make 40 bases. Notice you got 20 frames, 20 pieces of wood, You have 40 bases, two bases under each frame. God knows how to multiply. 20 times 2 class is 40. Two bases under each frame with pegs fitting securely in the bases. King James and other versions call it tenons. So imagine two pieces, two things that will fit down like pegs at the end of the board that will fit down in a silver base for it to stand on, okay? That's what you have. So they're not just standing up on the ground. They're on a base. Please read 20.
And for the second side of the tabernacle, on the north side, 20 frames. And there are 40 bases of silver, two bases under one frame and two bases under the next frame.
Just like the other side, verse 22.
And for the rear of the tabernacle.
Now we had a smaller side because it's longer than it is wide. Please read 22.
Westward, you shall make 6 frames. And you shall make 2 frames for corners of the tabernacle in the rear.
Now notice what God has shown here. At the rear of the building, at the west side, make 6 frames for the rear. The west of the tabernacle, along with 2 additional frames to reinforce the rear corners. Corners, when you join them together, can be the weakest part. When you have boards standing up going, so put an additional 2 on the corner, which will make a right angle. Mm-hmm. So you imagine just take one board, put it end to end in such a way you'll make an L standing up. That's the reinforcement. So God is even allowed for the reinforcement, 2 additional pieces, 2 additional members to support the tabernacle. Bless God forever. Amen. The many makes one so that God's presence will come in, because this is exactly what he wants. We hadn't gotten to where we're going yet, but we're moving right along. Give me number 19, please.
19. Okay. And 40 bases of silver you shall make under the 20 frames, 2 bases under one frame for its 2 tenons. And 2 bases under the next frame for its 2 tenons.
You're right. You had read that before. That's good. Give me 23.
And you shall make 2 frames for corners of the tabernacle in the rear. They shall be separate beneath, but joined at the top.
Okay.
At the first ring.
Now, they are going to be joined. They are 2 separate, but they're going to be joined. That will make them one. Please read.
Thus shall it be with both of them. They shall form the 2 corners.
Now notice how this is written. Along with the 2 additional frames to reinforce. Notice we have support. We have reinforced, or the reinforcement. The corners will be matched at the bottom, firmly attached, not separated. With the top with a single ring, just one, forming a corner unit. Make both of these corner units the same way, so there will be 8 frames at the rear of the tabernacle set in 16 silver bases. 8 times 2 class, 16. 2 bases under each frame. Verse 26, please.
You shall make bars of acacia wood, 5 for the frames of the one side of the tabernacle.
Now this was hard for me to grasp, so I had to look at some pictures. But you have bars going across the tabernacle. You have 5. Now, don't think of 5 bars standing up. Think of a dowel, a rounded pole, and you have 5, let's say, going up, going crossways. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. The board, remember, is 15 feet high. So they're not going lower. They're going across. What they're going to do is keep those boards perpendicular to the ground and keep them plumb. So they're going to be mounted to those frames in the front. You'll have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Read, it'll bear it out.
And 5 bars for the frames of the other side of the tabernacle. And 5 bars for the frames of the side of the tabernacle at the rear westward.
Now listen how the Living does. I don't read the Living because it has some words added, but notice it does bring out some clarity. Make crossbars of acacia wood to link the frames. Notice the word link, to join. 5 crossbars for the north side of the tabernacle and 5 for the south side. Also make 5 crossbars for the rear of the tabernacle, which face west. Verse 28 is very crucial. You read it, then I'll read it.
The middle bar, halfway up the frames, shall run from end to end.
Now notice, the middle crossbars, remember I said there were five? So the third one from the bottom or the third from the top, however you want to count it, probably going to be at about 7.5 feet from the ground, which is taller than most of us anyway. The middle crossbars is going to go all the way to length. That's what it said. The middle crossways, halfway up the front, will run all the way from one end of the tabernacle to the other. We say that. So go ahead with 29 for me, please.
You shall overlay the frames with gold, and shall make their rings of gold for holders.
Now notice, you've got to have the frames covered in gold. That acacia wood is going to be covered with gold. It's going to be shiny. And then you're going to make gold rings to hold the crossbars. The crossbars don't stay there by themselves. They're not nailed there. They're not glued there. They're not screwed there. They're not bolted there. There are rings that are there. Suppose that one ring is missing. It's not going to be what God wants. Everyone has a part to play in the unity of this building, because God is making something so fantastically wonderful. That is a representation of something that was shown in the mount. It's a representation of the holy place where real cherubims are. Where the presence of God really is. Where the seraphim can be. And God is allowing on earth to have something to represent the heavenly cherubim around. The gold that magnificently shows the light that God reflects where he is. They're having that right there. And each piece matters. Each piece matters. Please read 29, precious.
You shall overlay the frames with gold, and shall make their rings of gold for holders for the bars.
Yes.
And you shall overlay the bars with gold.
Yes.
Then you shall erect the tabernacle according to the plan for it that you were shown on the mountain.
Each piece has a particular place in the tabernacle. Each piece needs to be developed. And once each piece is developed the way that it should be, they should be able to come together and make a whole composite unit so the Spirit of God can dwell, so His presence can be there like He wants it to be. Bless His everlasting name. And if we can't see that God has something for us similar, I'm going to show it to you in just a minute anyway. Please read the Word of God.
And you shall make a veil of blue and purple and scarlet yarns and fine twine linen.
You're going to make a veil. And you're going to make it again. Just like the crossbar held everything up together. Now you're going to make another piece. You're going to make this of fine twine linen woven together. All those strands to do that. And it's going to be decorated how?
With cherubim. Skillfully worked into it.
Remember I said that just like it's going to be a pattern of the heavenly. With the cherubim there, we're not going to have real cherubim going around, but you're going to have a representation of the cherubim there. You're going to have the gold that you don't get to see, but on those curtains, you'll get to see that the priests, they get to go into the holy place. They get to go into a holy place, a replica of what it's like to be in heaven. Obviously, the priests are serving just like they were ministers of angels of God in that place. What do we think we're supposed to be? Lord, have mercy in the words of Gary K. Merritt. Please read.
And you shall hang it on four pillars of acacia.
It's going to be joined. It's going to be hung on the four pillars of acacia. So you got that last part of the tabernacle, and you have four pillars going across at the last section, where I think it's 15 feet square for the holiest of holies. When you first come to the tabernacle, you got the courtyard with the altar that we talked about. You have the basin for the priest to wash in. Now you have a curtain. And that curtain is going to separate the holy place from where the priest killed the animals and washed himself. On the inside of that, we talked about the table of showbread. We talked about the lampstand. The priest is in there doing what he's going to have to do. Then you have the table right with a little altar there for the incense. We have just got to the place now that we are building the curtain that goes between that. That's the curtain that we have right now with the fine embroidered cherubim. And it's hanged on four posts that goes across to separate the holy place from what? Please read verse 32. It'll tell us 32 down to 33.
And you shall hang it on four pillars of acacia overlaid with gold, with hooks of gold on four bases of silver. And you shall hang the veil from the clasp and bring the ark of the covenant in there within the veil. And the veil shall separate for you the holy place from the most holy.
When you do it like God says, and you have each piece in its place where it needs to be, and it's done with the type of order that God wants, and it's done the amount that God wants done, and it's done by God's grace. They didn't know what to do. It was done by God's instruction. But each had to have a willing heart. God did not build that tabernacle. No, he did not. What he did was he gave the instruction, I want to dwell with you. If I don't dwell with you, I'll have to destroy you. And if I have to destroy you, then the thing is, I can't dwell with you and destroy you. So I'm going to give you my grace so that I don't have to destroy you. I'm going to give you my blessing so I can dwell among you. But I need you all to be joined together. If I can't get you all to be joined together, then you will fight against me. So now I'm bringing you together to build something of a many pieces, many parts, many colors, different types of metal, joining it together. You all should be able to see what I'm doing. And when you have that part ready, the curtain that separates the holy place where you give service from the most holy place where my spirit dwells, until that time, you are still working to get to the goal that you need. And the goal that you need is my presence. You don't have my presence when you just get to those places. Yes, in some sense you do. But I'm saying that the real presence, where he said would be over above the Ark of the Covenant between the cherubim. Didn't he say that? Well, what is it, Tim, that you're saying that you're going to show us? I want us to understand this passage that we've gone through tonight by looking at a passage in the New Testament. I'm going to turn to a book called Ephesians chapter 4. And I'm going to read something to you and show you how this thing, I believe, works its way out in the church or in the body of believers today. Since somebody might say, we're not in the wilderness. We don't have the problems that they have. Listen to the word of God, Ephesians 4:1. I therefore, this is Paul talking, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Walk worthy of the assignment wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. Endeavoring to keep the unity, the oneness, the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We found that some of those things were unified by bases of silver, gold rings sometimes, gold clasps sometimes, loops sometimes of blue, fine twine linen sometimes. We found that sometimes things were kept unified by a ring at the top. In so far as dealing with those of us that make up the body of Christ, where God is supposed to be dwelling in us, we need to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That was one tabernacle. There were many parts. The Bible says here in verse 4, there is one body and one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. That tabernacle had many parts, had an outer court, had an inner court, had the Holy of Holies. There was one God that would come and dwell above the cherubim. There was one faith where the priest would go in and have the bread of faith, where he would offer incense, have the light of God in there, offer the sacrifice and believing that God would have let them atone for sin. One faith, one baptism. There was one laver for them to wash in while they did the work of the Almighty God, who was blessed forever. Verse 6 says, there is one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. And his Spirit was to be there at the tabernacle. But the Bible says, but to every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. They were given grace. They didn't know how to build the tabernacle. It was given by the grace of God. God so graciously allowed Moses to see it. God graciously gave them the ability to do that, the women and the men. to do what they were doing. Don't you think that he would give us grace to do the same thing? The Bible says, but to every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of God. We can see that they can make cherubim. They can make lampstands, not they, Bezaleel and Oholiab. The women could make the fine linen. They could make the bases. We are given grace to do what? We are given grace to fulfill what God wants. Verse 8 says, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. When did he ascend up on high? After the death, the burial, and the resurrection. And the Bible said he ascended on high, he gave gifts to men. And we see that in the book of Acts, we see on the day of Pentecost that the Holy Spirit came. And I could have went to chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians to show how many members make up one body. I chose to come here and test it. Now the word of God says in verse number 9, now that he ascended, what is it also that he descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same ascended up far above all heavens, that he may fill all things. When God's presence would come down and dwell with men at the tabernacle, God was able to give them the ability to destroy the enemies, to wrought righteousness or to work righteousness in the land, and to show that nobody could stand against their God, to bring about righteousness that needed to be brought about, because at this particular time, they were going to take and they were going to exercise God's judgment in their own life, exercise his presence in their own life. The many of the 12 tribes would have been one with God, but because they failed, they didn't do what God wanted them to do. But Jesus, the magnificent Christ, has descended, and he ascended. And then verse 11 said he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting or for the maturity of the saints. He gave some apostles. Some, the apostles are considered to be part of the foundation, just like the basis, Jesus being the chief cornerstone. He gave some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers so that these people would be able to learn, they would be able to grow, they would have covering, they would be able to have a stability or a stable framework in which to live, how to go, for the perfecting, for the maturity of the saints, for the work of the ministry. That's what the priest did. They had a ministry. That's why they would take in and burn in the incense. That's why they would go in there where the lampstand was. That's why they would have to wash themselves before they offered the sacrifices, because what they were doing was trying to go about God's method of atoning for sin. When men had done wrong to one another and got it right with them, then they could come, because they had violated God's righteous principles, and deal with God, because you got to deal with God. You got to answer to him when you have violated the order that he wanted to set up. So he gave that to us. Verse 13 says, but let me read 12 again. It's for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Each one of us are supposed to be able to edify and build up one another. There was not just one board standing up. That was 15 feet tall. You had 8 at the backside with corners reinforcing. And you have bars going across it for reinforcing. We're supposed to edify one another so that each can accomplish the goal that God has. Verse 13 says, till we all come into the unity of the faith, until one whole tabernacle could be raised up. Until we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect or mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Till we all... That tabernacle came into one complete unit. It came because God gave them the knowledge of what to do. They did it God's way. His presence came, and they got the opportunity to have God dwelling with them. That tabernacle was a full function in one unit piece because God had got those people to act right. We're supposed to come to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We shouldn't be having all these different kind of thoughts about God. God is sovereign. God is king. God is Lord. He has laws. We should capitulate and bend our will to him so that we can love him and then love one another. Bless his everlasting name that sits between that cherubim. Verse 14 says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of man and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. All of those places had to be fit. The tenons had to be on the bottom, or those little pegs had to be on the bottom of those boards so that they would fit in the silver bases. The rings had to be on those boards at five different levels so the crossbars could match. The ram skin dyed red, the badger skin, all of those things had to go on the top so that it would fit together. When they wouldn't fit together, they could be thrown aside. Somebody could taste it. This is gold. Let me sell it. Or something could break off and it not fit. Many times we as the children of God, we don't want to fit together because sometimes we like another way other than God. Sometimes we like our family more than God and we don't want to be joined together like we should. Sometimes we like our friends more than God. Sometimes we like our own way more than God. God has designed that we should be fit together in Him so His Spirit can dwell among us. God has designed that the many would be one so that you would dwell amongst us, so that we can work the ministry, so that we can be the light of the world, so that His presence can build us up and give us a conquering power together, not by ourselves. Bless His mighty name forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Verse 16, it says, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working of the measure in every part, make an increase of the body to the edifying of itself in love. The whole body, and it's not talking about our hands, feet, and legs at this time. It's talking about every person. Every person. You had an apostle, a prophet, a preacher, a teacher. You have different ones in the body. Not just them. You have people that were what we call the diaconos, the deacons. You had different individuals. We had the Grecian women in the early church. You had people that were poor in the early church. You had some persecuted in the early church. You had different ones that was supposed to come together, just like Aquila and Priscilla came together with Apollos to help him. They came together and they got together in Acts 15 when there was a decision that could have had part of the boards of the tabernacle over here, a part of the clasp broken off, and they got together. How can we come together and we can be fit together as a whole unit so that God's presence would be among us so that we can be the ministry that we're supposed to be? Bless His everlasting name. And I submit to you that this is the picture in the tabernacle. Yes, we can look at the picture of the tabernacle and see Jesus the Magnificent Christ. I'll deal with that. But if we look at that tabernacle and we don't realize that the Bible teaches that we are the temple of the living God and that God wants to dwell in us, we'll be looking at it and we'll just be looking at what Jesus did, which is wonderful. But we'll forget what we're supposed to do. What Jesus is doing is trying to join us together so we can be a replica of Him. We won't be God in the flesh, but God can be in our flesh, living in us, walking in us as a unit, as a group of people. But if we let the wrong people have influence in our lives, let the wrong people have influence in what we think and what we do, we won't be joined together like God said. They'll be taking us away from what God wants, and our own mind will take us away from what God wants. Television will take us away from what God wants. Our culture will take us away from what God wants. And therefore, we have one last problem. Even religious institutions would take us away from being fitly joined together. How can we be fitly joined together, you may ask? How can we be one so that God's presence can dwell among us? Learn His Word. Learn His ways and do it. What if Bezalel, somebody had said, you know, you could take two pieces of this metal together and make that lampstand. You could go in and make some of each one of those seven branches, one of those six branches, and you got the middle, and you can weld them together. All you got to do is melt it. You don't have to take all that time to beat them out of one. And what if somebody said, man, you don't have to put all those 50 loops on there. Tall as that thing is, I have mathematically figured it out that you can do the same thing with 30 loops. What did God say? How does God tell me to treat my wife? Does he tell us to submit ourselves together? Yes, it did, one to another. Does it tell me to love my enemies? Yes, it does. Does it tell me to speak the truth to them without? Yes, it does. How does it tell me to deal with someone that's wrong? Rebuke him if I'm supposed to. Exhort when I'm supposed to. It tells me I'm supposed to assemble with people. People say, well, Tim, you don't go to church. I assemble with those that want to love God. When I have gone to places, just like I went last night and visited a church, I'm watching a man put his hand on somebody's head and they're falling on the floor and they're covering up the women so they don't show their genitals. What kind of mess is that? You're screaming and hollering and speaking and calling yourself speaking in tongues and there is no interpretation there. I want to do what God said because his grace will show me how to be one with them that are sanctified. And I want to be that kind of person. The many that make one is what God desires so that he can dwell among us. That's where I want to be found. I want to be found trying to replicate what I've seen that he made so that he could dwell among the people. He wanted to dwell among them. That was his desire. When we look at the word of God, we realize, yes, Jesus is our covering. Yes, Jesus is the one that separates us from God the Father because we can't get to God the Father except through him. Yes, Jesus is our support. I know that Jesus is our support. Yes, I know Jesus is the very thing that holds us together. Yes, I know that Jesus comes from heaven and that Jesus is royalty and Jesus' blood is shed. I know these things. We have plenty more chapters in Exodus to talk about that. But let's talk about right now where our problem is. Our problem is people right now is not realizing that God wants to dwell among us and it takes something, but he's given us all that we need to do that. And I'm going to finish right here. Right here. I'm going to finish saying with this one thing. Are we ready to follow his instruction? Are we ready to let him fit us perfectly together? Are we ready to rear and support each other? Reinforce each other. Be a covering for each other. I'm not talking about in that supernatural sense where people say, I'm your covering. Do what I say. No, cover each other when you see your brother or sister about to go astray. Will you speak to them? Will you help keep them from the wrath of God? When you see yourself getting ready to go, will you listen to somebody else when they try to help you? The Bible says love covers a multitude of sin. Will you let somebody love you? Or you want to define the love? What do you want to do? Do you want to be a part of the place where God can come and dwell? The many makes one. The many. That's his plan. That's his desire. 12 tribes that were there. 12. Many of them. Different attitudes. Different spirits. Different dispositions. But the many were supposed to be one. And God was going to dwell in the midst of them and do magnificent, powerful and wonderful things. Let's let us be that way. Let's let us be that way that when people encounter us, that they see that we got something. And if we encounter somebody that have something and we got something, we don't fight against them. What is it that we have that can benefit you? How we can benefit each other? We didn't start God's word and we won't finish it. But we can grow up to a perfect man, unto the measure, the stature, the fullness of Christ. And when we do that, we won't be tossed to and fro. We'll stay joined together with those that believe. That's what God wants. Father, bless your blessed words. Bless your strength. Bless your might. Bless us to make our mind up that we want to be that you would have us to be. Following your grace, following your instruction, supporting one another. Fitting in our proper place, Lord. Learning our place and fitting in it. Taking your instruction. Doing all that we can that when we come together that each one of us exercise our gifts, our talents, and ability. And asking you to come and dwell in our midst so that we can do marvelous things for your glory, not our glory. You want to dwell with us. You want us to serve as priests. You want us to be a royal priesthood. And at the same time, you have said we are your temple. Help us to be the kind of people that when people see us, it can be that God is dwelling among them because you are in us as individuals. And then when we come together, that your power, your display, can just shine brightly because they can see a community. It's under your law. It's under your grace. It's under your goodness. It's being filled with the Spirit so that they can say, I want a part of this. We want God's righteousness. We didn't know that this is how it's supposed to be. We want to be fitly joined together in what He's doing. Help us, I pray, in the blessed name of your holy child, Jesus the Christ. Amen.